listening to Pushing the Odds, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Quicken Loans. Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Let's head back to the Progressive guest line and let's talk to Keith Law. His new book out today, The Inside Game, Bad Calls, Strange Moves, and What Baseball Behavior Teaches Us About Ourselves. Keith Law, the senior baseball writer for The Athletic, joining us on the Progressive guest line. Keith, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. Okay, let's start with the book, the idea behind the book, and when folks read it, what do you want them to take away from it?
So the idea behind the book came from the fact that so many people in baseball circles and baseball front offices were reading books about similar topics, a bit more academically inclined books like Thinking Fast and Slow, because they were trying to make their decision-making better. And over the ensuing couple of years, not only did I read a lot of books on the topic myself, because I found it interesting, but also noticed how many examples of these various cognitive biases, flaws in our thinking processes, that I could see when writing about baseball. And so I had the idea to try to combine the two so that I could use baseball examples to explain some of these cognitive biases or fallacies to a mass audience. And on the flip side, if you're already kind of familiar with that or really not that interested in this thinking about thinking idea, just to tell some interesting baseball stories from a different perspective and break down where various decisions by managers or general managers or other people in baseball ultimately went wrong.
Do you feel that baseball needs to be more experimental, that baseball needs to get away from their old ways and embrace not just technology and sabermetrics and using analytics, but really trying to change the way the game is actually played?
I would say no to the latter, and I would say in the case of the former, they were very slow to adjust to using analytics and slow to adapt new technologies. But then once the process started, it really accelerated to the point where now every team has an R&D department of, you know, 8 to 20 analysts, perhaps, and that they have all started making pretty serious use of the data that comes from the StatCast technologies, which are deployed in all 30 major league parks and actually show up in a lot of minor league parks. Even some colleges have installed TrackMan systems to get things like exit velocities or spin rates to potentially provide that data to major league teams, because major league teams are so eager to get it. So I think that while the industry was, like when I worked for the Blue Jays, we were one of the only teams that was seriously considering statistical information as part of our decision-making process. Now everybody does that. And it took a while, but we eventually got there.
So baseball right now is obviously not playing, and they're trying to figure out different ways to play and where to play. I'll talk about that more here in a second. But in the book, you talk about robot umpires. And the robot umpire is definitely on the table right now for Major League Baseball. Is this the time to do it? If we're going to experiment, if we're going to play baseball in a different way, in a different place than normal, is it now time to utilize the technology and try to incorporate a robot umpire strike zone to baseball?
I have no objection to them trying to do it now. They did experiment with it a little bit in the Arizona Fall League last year at Salt River Fields. Now, if they go through any of these ideas that involve playing games at just a fixed, smaller number of sites in Arizona and Florida, or maybe Arizona, Florida, and Texas, Salt River would be one of them. And so the system would already be there. They've already experimented with it there to try it out. And given the fact that everyone I speak to within the game thinks that we will have automated ball strike calling by the time we get to the 2022 season, it makes sense to start experimenting with it some this year so that players and coaches get used to it, because it will be an adjustment for them. Ultimately, I think the results will be a net positive, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different for umpires. It's going to be especially different for players who are so used to questioning the judgment of umpires and often turning around to discuss or even argue, who realize that there's no point to doing that because there's nobody to argue with.
So you mentioned the Arizona, Texas, and Florida idea that's being reported right now. CBS Sports had it first yesterday. What do you make of the idea of three separate sites, and can baseball work like this? I mean, can you break guys up and stick them in different markets and have them be down there for 4.5 months to play whatever, 81, 120, whatever they're going to do from a season perspective?
This is a public health question. In terms of actually playing the game, that's not a problem. I mean, players could play somewhere else. They may not love it necessarily, but they'll be fairly compensated for their time. And players do have a pretty strong financial incentive to play as long as they feel like their health isn't at risk. The major obstacle that Major League Baseball and all professional sports have to get around now is the risk of gathering. And because there's so little testing across the country, and we know that asymptomatic people can carry and spread the coronavirus, ultimately, we're not going to see professional sports until there is sufficient testing that getting even the 40 or 50 people together that you'd see in a major league clubhouse before or after a game is deemed safe. That's before we even discuss the possibility of fans, which I don't think we're going to see at all in 2020. I do think we'll play baseball. I think we'll play it in fewer sites than you would normally have it, and there'll be some kind of change to the league structure. But ultimately, when we get to play is going to be a matter of public health rather than a matter of baseball.
Baseball is so entrenched in their tradition with the numbers, with their history. What does a year like this look like if they only play 81 games? I mean, how do they handle the records? How do they handle the stats that are so vitally important to the game?
I mean, you just record what happens, right? It doesn't actually change anything. There'll be a recognition. Obviously, any cumulative stats aren't going to change, right? No one's breaking the home run record in a half a season. If somebody were to post an ERA of 1.05 and set the seasonal record, it would be marked as happening in a partial season, half a season. You will likely see that, right? That's just simply the law of large numbers working, where if you've got half as many games, you're going to see greater variance, more outliers, results that are farther from the norm than you would if you had a full season where that law of large numbers comes into play and things start to average out a little bit so that you just don't see the outliers. Someone could hit 400 this season. If we play 81 games, no one is going to say, oh, that's the first 400 hitter since Bill Terry, because it's not, because it's just not the same thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. How does gambling and baseball coexist going forward? There's been such this rejection, the history, whether it be Shoeless Joe up to Pete Rose, whatever. We have a commissioner because of gambling. I mean, I like a lot of people, I've gone back and watched the Ken Burns baseball series, and it's just kind of remarkable to me to look at the disdain for gamblers and the disdain for the gambling practice with baseball. And now there's a relationship, and they're going to be, in the same ballpark, there's going to be books outside of, ballparks, including Wrigley Field. How do you feel about that relationship going forward?
Well, the key is that no one on the inside can be involved at all. You can't have players betting, coaches betting, front office executives. I would ban scouts. If you're at all paid by a major league team, you can't bet. You just can't bet on baseball at all. It doesn't even matter if they're games that you're involved in or not. I might even consider a larger ban, especially for players, that says you can't bet on sports. Sorry, when you retire, you can bet on sports all you want. But while you're under contract to a major league team, you can't. As long as that is in place and is still treated as kind of a cardinal sin if you violate it, which is what we've had so far. We've only had a few cases, but results in lifetime bans from the sport. As long as that's there, I don't really have a problem with it. I'm not a gambler myself. But I also recognize that gambling is one of those things. People are going to do it. Whether it's legal or not, they're going to do it. Whether the sport sanctions it or not, they're going to do it. I would probably rather, in that case, see a scenario where baseball is a bit more involved in the process and thus is better positioned to spot something when something goes wrong. If a manager should, for example, start betting on baseball, they'll be in a better position to step in and take action.
Interesting. All right, Keith, I always ask this question whenever we talk to authors. When someone puts your book down and they're done with the inside game, what do you hope they take away from your book?
I hope they're entertained more than anything else. I write everything for people to read, and I want them to read it and enjoy the process much as I enjoy being a reader myself. In terms of teaching something, though, in this book, I would like some people to read this book and walk away thinking differently about how they think, looking for examples of these own biases in their own lives. It may come up at work. It may come up in personal finance. These are all things that we all deal with. Our brains have evolved with these biases because it helps us deal with the massive amount of information coming at us every single day. If you walk away from this just thinking a little differently, looking out for these traps, so that you can change your thinking process and make slightly better decisions. If you walk away from my book with that, I'd be very satisfied.
Keith, thank you for the time. Best of luck with the book, The Inside Game, Bad Calls, Strange Moves, and What Baseball Behavior Teaches Us About Ourselves. Available where you get your books now. Came out today. Congratulations. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it, Keith.
Yep, my pleasure.
That is Keith Law at Keith Law with the book The Inside Game on the Progressive guest line. Buy, quote, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer only at progressive.com.